This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد, my dear brothers and sisters, الحمد لله بإذن الله تعالى, we are coming to a close of the beautiful story of Maryam عليه السلام and Isa عليه السلام. And in that story is also the stories of Zakaria alayhi salam and Yahya alayhi salam, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us in the Quran. In terms of historical terms, we are looking at, if I look at the situation of the world, and world meaning that part of the world which was which is the Jerusalem and Bethlehem and those places where Isa alayhi salam, Maryam alayhi salam lived. This came under the control of the Roman Empire. And it was Tiberius Caesar, who was the Roman Emperor at the time, the adopted son of Augustus Caesar, who himself was reportedly a grandson, but maybe an adopted son of Julius Caesar. So that was the overall thing. Historically speaking, again, Herod was the king of Judea, which was an independent kingdom at that time, and all sorts of, if you really look at life in these times, and this is not even medieval, this is if we begin historical time or the recording of history from the Roman Empire, or before that from the Greeks, then we are looking at the very early recordings of history of the Western Hemisphere and the Middle East. And times were extremely difficult. There was a lot of turmoil. This is something that today we tend to disregard, we tend to lose track, and we tend not to appreciate the kind of world that we live in, right? Even the best of the best, the wealthiest of monarchs, did not have the kind of luxuries that most of us today take for granted. To have toilets with flushes, to have hot and cold water from the tap. Like twist of a dial, you can have a hot water shower. Just these two things, forget about electricity. I mean, obviously that wasn't there, but just these two things, the wealthiest of monarchs did not have them. Right? If you look at the great Mughals, the great Mughal emperors of India, who were among the wealthiest monarchs of all time. India, during the reign of Shah Jahan, contributed to 25% of world GDP. So that means Shah Jahan had that kind of wealth. 25% of world GDP was the wealth of the Mughal emperor. Right. Even today, the wealthiest of wealthy people is not even anywhere in counting. And on top of that, you have to take into account the fact that just, for a businessman to have wealth is one thing, but to be wealthy and also be an emperor of vast areas, ruling over literally millions of people, with a huge army at your command, is a different ball game altogether, right? So even there, if you look at the Red Fort in Delhi, which was where Shah Jahan lived, they didn't have hot and cold running water, right? If Shah Jahan wanted, Shah Jahan didn't sit at a stove and boil his own water. Somebody did it for him. But the point is that he did not have running water, forget about hot and cold water, he didn't have running water. So today we live in a world which is, thanks to technology, we take for granted many, many things that in the past, even the wealthiest of people didn't have, number one. Number two, in terms of peace and in terms of simply safety of life, whether the danger to life came from wars and bandits and marauding armies, or whether it came from disease. In both these respects, we today in this world are hugely better off. I mean, there is not even a comparison. There is not even a comparison from what used to happen in the times. And here, when we are talking about Isa alayhi salam, we are talking about 2,000 plus years ago, from the times of the Roman Empire and going forward to very close to our modern times, you know, post the Second World War, really. So, alhamdulillah, there's much to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Now, in the case of Isa alayhi salam, the political political situation, in as I said, it was Tiberius who was the king. He was one of the most powerful Roman emperors, and he was a great general and so on and so forth. Now, the point I'm saying is that when Isa alayhi salam was born, and he was born in that part of the world where it was a Jewish kingdom, so the Jews were technically, I mean, the Romans were the rulers, but in their kingdom they were more or less autonomous to that extent. So that was the power structure of the time. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu mentions those times, and we have seen the ayat in Surah Maryam and so on, which mentioned the story of Maryam alayhi salam, the story of Zakaria alayhi salam, and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned and how he blessed Zakaria alayhi salam and Maryam alayhi salam. And where we left off last time was the story of Maryam alayhi salam giving birth, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided for her, but he provided for her on the condition that she makes effort, which is where she was told to go and shake the date palm tree. As I told you, knowing fully well that you can't even do it, but Allah made this happen. And then the dates would drop on her, and she would eat, and there was some water for her to drink. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Al-Imran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, remember, and the meaning of it, remember when the angel said, O Maryam, verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you the glad tidings of a word, and that is the creation of Isa alayhi salam from him. And his name will be Masiha Isa, the son of Maryam, held in honor in this world and in the hereafter. And he will be one of those who are min al-muqarrabin, who are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Now, Maryam alayhi, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then went on to say, and he will speak to the people from the cradle, in the cradle and in manhood, and he will be one of the righteous. Now, she said, Maryam alayhi salam, O my Rabb, how shall I have a son when no man has touched me? And Allah said, the angel said, and it was Jibreel alayhi salam, Wallahu alam, he said, so it will be, kathalik. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates whatever He wills. When He has decreed something, He says to it only be, and it is. Kun fayakun. And this was the, Isa alayhi salam is called the, also the Kalimatullah, as the word of Allah, because that is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created him, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered and he came into being. Imagine, think about this. Think about Maryam alayhi salam and what kind of a test it was for Maryam alayhi salam and what kind of a test it was for the people of the time, right? Here is this young girl who is known to be the most pious person going, right? She grew up in Masjid al-Nabawi al-Sharif. Zakariya alayhi salam, who is a Nabi, is her caretaker. She grew up in the seclusion of the masjid in her own mihrab, in her own hujra. She would be continuously engaged in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala day and night. And she was known for the miracles which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala performed at her hands, which is that she would have food sent to her by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from Jannah, which would come directly to her. To the extent that Zakariya alayhi salam asked her, Ya Maryam, wa anna laki hadha, Ya Maryam, where has this come from? And she said, this is from my Rabb, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala feeds to whoever he wants without hisab, without counting. Now this lady, this young girl, who is so pious and so pure, is being given a test, which is the ultimate, and within quotes, the worst thing that could have happened to somebody like that, which is the appearance of inchastity, the appearance of being impure, the appearance of being, of doing something which is prohibited. It's bad enough for anybody, but for somebody like that, imagine what kind of test it is. So here she is being given this bashara, this good news of a son. But as far as she is concerned, it's not good news at all. She doesn't want a son. She's not married. She doesn't want a son or any child. Because if she has a child, what is the impression? What will the world say? What will people say? And what will they say? The normal thing anybody will say is that this lady has been unchaste. Right? And this is what happened. People said this. Now think about this today. We are reading this ayat of the Quran. And we believe that Maryam alayhi salam was absolutely pure and that Isa alayhi salam was born as a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's khudrat. And thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you and I were not born and we didn't live at that time. And we didn't have to stand there and listen to Maryam alayhi salam saying this. Because imagine today we believe this because today for us it is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. But for the people who heard her, it was the word of this lady. Right? Of course, later on, Isa alayhi salam, that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told her, when people ask you, say nothing. Don't reply to them. Point to the baby in the cradle. And of course, the people say, how can the baby talk? But the baby spoke. So when the baby spoke, there were people even then who didn't believe, but that's a different issue. But obviously, if a baby is speaking, then there is evidence that what she is saying is right. But I'm saying right in the beginning when she first had to say, imagine how difficult that test must have been for her. The reason I'm saying this is that many times we feel that if we are pious and we are, practice Islam and we are pure and we do not do anything wrong, we think that life then becomes a bed of roses. Believe me, you do not have to look very far to realize how wrong that kind of an assumption would be. Because nobody in the world is purer than the Anbiya alayhimu salam, than the prophets. And nobody was tested more than the prophets. Now this is something which is very important for us to keep in mind and think about and say that, whenever we get into difficulties, we say, I've been doing everything right, I've been praying on time, I'm praying tahajjud, this, that, why did this have to happen to me? Believe me, if that logic is used, then remember all the tests that the prophets went through, right? Think about that. Think about all the tests that they went through. And right to the end, even in the case of Isa alayhi salam, what was the end of Isa alayhi salam? Obviously, there is no end yet. But what did they try to do? They tried to kill him. They tried to crucify him. I mean, imagine, there's killing and killing, right? Killing somebody in a way which is, I mean, I don't know, I've never died before, so I don't know if it's painful or not painful, but I'm saying that it's something which is at least apparently instantaneous. You know, somebody just puts you into a guillotine and takes your head off or something like that, compared to being nailed to a cross. I mean, this was something that the Romans did. I mean, the Romans did a lot of crucifixion. They did a lot of crucifixion of people, of their enemies. This was a very standard Roman punishment of crucifying people. The Romans were very, very cruel people. I mean, if you look at the history of the Roman Empire, they were extremely cruel people. It was a very brutal, extremely brutal kind of regime. And even with themselves, I mean, it's not as if the Romans always enjoyed it. I mean, there were many Roman emperors who were absolutely, including Tiberius, who I mentioned now, towards the end of his life, he was psychopathic. I mean, it was completely, almost maybe insane or something. So was Nero, so was Caligula, who was the successor of Tiberius. And very, very horrible kind of people who used and abused power without absolutely any boundaries whatsoever. So these were the times, and in that time, remember the kind of test that Maryam alayhi salam had to face, right? So even today, if you think about this and say, well, you know, I'm living a good life, alhamdulillah, we ask Allah to keep us free from tests, but if tests happen, we must not lose hope. We must not feel, oh, what did I do? And, you know, is this a curse or is this punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No. Inshallah, it is not. Anyway, irrespective of what it is, we must return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We must make istighfar and we must turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned testing and difficulties and calamities in two places, in two different formats. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, said in Surah Sajda, وَلَنُزِيقَنَّهُمْ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَدْنَى دُونَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَكْبَرِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that we give them a taste of the small punishment before the big punishment so that they return to us. Right? So, two things to understand here. One is that the test which comes or the pain which comes, the suffering which comes is a punishment. If it is a punishment, then it is a small punishment compared to the big punishment which you and I would have been eligible for if we will be eligible for if we don't return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning if we do not make istighfar and seek pardon and come back to this straight path which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed us. Now, therefore, even the punishment which comes, even the pain that we suffer, is really a sign of the mercy of Allah. Because what happens? If this punishment had not come, then we would have continued in our sinning. We would have continued in our disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then if we had died in that state, if we had died in a state of shirk or kufr or whatever else we were doing, then we would have then become liable for the big punishment, which is the punishment of the akhirah, which is illa mashallah everlasting. So this punishment or whatever happens in the dunya is in the nature of a slap on the wrist. So for example, if a little child is there with the mother in the kitchen and he extends his hand towards the fire, here's the fire burning, it looks nice and shiny, attractive, so the child puts the hand towards the fire. The mother says, don't do that. Right? She tells him once, she said twice. Third time, she slaps him on the wrist. So when she slaps him on the wrist, obviously it hurts him. So he starts crying. But imagine what would have happened if she had not slapped him on the wrist and allowed him to put his hand into the fire. Which pain is more? The pain of burning or the pain of a slap on the wrist? And this is the nature of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does if it is a punishment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentioned the same thing in Suratul Rum, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Zahara al-fasadu fil barri wal bahri bima kasabat aydi nasi liyuziqahum ba'da alladhi amilu la'allahum yarji'un." Why is this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said the fasad, the trials, tribulations, difficulties, calamities on the land and the sea are not random things. They are the result of what the hands of people have wrought, what the hands of people have brought about and created. And Allah said, Allah allows that to happen. Allah allows that suffering to happen so that people will turn, so that people will get a taste of the effect of their deeds. So this punishment is not this is not punishment as such. This is just a taste of it, so that you turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, why is this taste required? Because we have, we are dumb. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us His kalam, He sent us the Quran, He sent anbiya, nabi after nabi, until He sent the last and final of them, Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that we understand, so that we believe, so that we come out of our life, living life as if we are going to be here forever. So Allah sends that. So that we turn. Now, if we don't do that, then we are going to end up in the Akhirah, and the punishment in the Akhirah is much more and much worse. Another place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, I'm talking about all of this because we are looking at the test that Maryam alayhi salam had to bear. Now, in her case, obviously, it is not punishment at all because she didn't do anything wrong. But in the case of people who do not do anything wrong but who still have to face tests, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again mentioned, in Surah Al-Baqarah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَالنَّقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَّبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, which means truly we will test them with something of hunger, something of fear, and hunger, and loss of life, and loss of wealth, and health, and loss of the fruits of labor, problems with your children, and so on. Different kinds of tests. Allah said, we will test them. And then Allah said, but bashara, and good and glad tidings for the sabirin. Who are the sabirin? Who are the people who have sabr? These are the people who will make all the effort to alleviate that suffering for themselves and others, and then they will turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seeking His help. So Allah said, Basharat for them. And who are these people? They are the people who, when the musibat happens, when the difficulty happens, the trial, tribulation happens, calamity happens, they say, Qalu inna lillahi wa inna ilahi rajiun. They say, we are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our return. So these are not people who complain and moan and groan and whatnot. These are people who accept what happened with equanimity, and they said, this is from Allah, and to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our return. And Allah said, Ulaika alayhim salawatu min rabbihim wa rahma. On these people is the salawat, is the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and His mercy. Wa ulaika humul muhtadun. And these are the people who are rightly guided. So Allah is giving the bashara of His rahmah, of His maghfirah, of His mercy, of His forgiveness. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bearing witness. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, He is declaring that these are the people who are rightly guided. Now, as I always say, and I reflect, that if somebody asked me and said, what will you pay if this is something which could be, which you would pay for? Obviously it is not, but I'm saying if it was. And if somebody said, what are you willing to pay to get Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessing and Allah's promise of mercy and forgiveness, and a declaration by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you are rightly guided, what would you pay? I would say I would pay everything, every drop of blood, every breath that I take, every cell in my body, every single thing I possess I will be happy to give it in order to get this. Because what is more beautiful and what is a bigger guarantee of Jannah, inshallah, than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself declaring that this person is guided, is rightly guided. Right? So there's nothing like that. So therefore, trials and tribulations which come to pious people come to raise their darajat, which is what we are saying here. They accept the trial and tribulation and then Allah raises their darajat. So now, if we have difficulty, if we face any calamity, what should we do? What is the test to check whether this is perhaps punishment or this is the test which has come in order to raise our standards and raise our status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What is the check? The check is to look at our own life and say, is my life in line with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's orders? Meaning, is my life on the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam or not? Obviously, there is nobody among us who can claim that I am 100% right and what is happening to me is only to increase my darajat. It is not a punishment. We cannot say that. Nobody can say that. If somebody is saying that, then that person is grossly mistaken. We all make mistakes. We all have different kinds of mistakes. May Allah forgive us. But broadly speaking, right, broadly speaking, can we look at our own lives and say, is there any disobedience of Allah in my life? Now, this is not difficult. This is very easy. Because when we look at our lives, we can see clearly what is it that I am defying Allah about. What is it that I am in? What is it in my life where I am not following the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This is not difficult. This is not a mystery. It's not a matter of saying, oh, but you know, I don't know in the far reaches of the night, what kind of great deed somebody does, which Allah may accept, and this is in secret. No, this is not in secret. This is absolutely open and clear and visible like the nose on your face. Am I disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not? Not a mystery. If I am going to the races, I am disobeying Allah. If I am playing cards for money, I am disobeying Allah. If I am a member of a club, where all kinds of haram happens, I am disobeying Allah. If I have borrowed money or I am lending money on interest, I am disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If in my shop I am selling products which are haram, then I am disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I am not following, if I am not praying the first salah, and if I am not paying zakat, and if I am not fasting in Ramadan, I am disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I am troubling my family, if I am abusing my wife or husband, if I am not paying attention to the tarbiyah and the raising of my children, if I am being abusive to my neighbors, if I am troubling anybody on the street, if I am being aggressive, if I am being, you know, my anger is out of control, all of these things are disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all of these will attract a salutary punishment in this life. And if we still don't correct ourselves, then it attracts some permanent punishment in the hereafter. So my brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you, let us look at our lives and say that these tests which come, first of all, tests comes to everybody, tests come to the good people and the bad people. They come for different reasons, but they come. So if there is a test, if we are being tested, like right now we are being tested, then the thing to do is to look at our lives and say, where am I disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And as I told you, default setting, yes, we are disobeying Allah. So what must we do? Make istighfar, apologize to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seek His forgiveness. The more we make istighfar, the more it cools down the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Give lots of charity. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, charity cools the anger of Allah. So give lots of charity. Give charity until it hurts. And when it hurts, know that it's hurting only because of the weakness of your iman. If you and I had iman, it wouldn't hurt. The more we gave, we would know we are investing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is there to hurt? Alhamdulillah, I am going to get a reward of this in this dunya and the hereafter. So why does something which is intrinsically rewardable hurt? Because our faith in that reward is weak. Yes, we say the words. Yes, we claim to have that faith. But really, if the faith is there, we would not be moaning and groaning. So tests come, and tests came to Maryam alayhi salam also. Then to continue with the ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will teach him. Now these are the basharat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving to Maryam alayhi salam. So Allah says that Allah will teach him the book and al-hikmah, which is wisdom, and the faultless speech of the prophets, and the Torah and Injil, which is the book that will be sent on him. Isa alayhi salam came to the Bani Israel, and he came to reinforce the law of Musa alayhi salam, and Isa alayhi salam was also given something for himself. And then Allah said, and we will make him, Isa, a messenger to the children of Israel, saying, I have come to you with a sign from your Rabb, from your Lord, from your Creator, that I make for you out of clay a figure of a bird, and I breathe into it, and it becomes a bird by Allah's leave. Bismillah. And I heal the one who was born blind and the leper, and I bring the dead to life by Allah's leave. He's not saying, I do this, this is my karama, this is my power. No, it's only Allah allows me to do that, so I do it. And then he said, I inform you of what you eat and what you store in your houses. Allah had given him this ability. He would tell people, this is what you are eating, this is what is stored. And these are all signs too, for the people who needed that proof to believe in Isa alayhi salam. And surely therein is a sign for you if you believe. And then Allah said, that Isa alayhi salam will say, and I have come confirming that which was before me of the Torah, and to make lawful to you part of what was forbidden to you. And I have come to you with a proof from your Rabb Jalla Jalalu. So fear Allah and obey me. Ittaqullaha wa atiyun. Truly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is my Rabb and your Rabb, and so worship Him alone. This hadha siratum mustaqim. This is the straight path. This is the path of steadfastness. Now the lessons to learn from all of this is that the malaika, that the Prophet Zambiya alayhi salam, they got miracles in relation to the things which the people were proud of. In the case of Musa alayhi salam, the people of Egypt, they were proud of their magic. So Musa alayhi salam was given a miracle which was not magic, but which appeared to the world as magic, which is that his staff would turn into a snake. And that is where the people who knew magic, instantly they recognized that this is not magic. And they said, this is the Nabi. And so they brought faith on him and they believed in him, even though they incurred the wrath of Firaun, of the Pharaoh. But they believed, because they said, we know magic. And this is not magic, because we know if it was magic, then we would have known what he is doing and we would have had an antidote to it. But we do not have an antidote, meaning that this is not magic. Now, in the time of Isa alayhi salam, they were very proud of their medical capability. The Romans had learnt it from the Greeks, and then this was transmitted. So there were a lot of Jews, for example, who were very famous doctors. So in this time, Allah sent Isa alayhi salam with miracles which challenged the world of medicine. Because in the world of medicine, there were some things which are incurable. Even till today, they are incurable. One is leprosy. The other one is to give sight to somebody who is born blind, right? Congenital blindness is just born blind. And of course, the ultimate of it, which is, can you bring the dead back to life? There is no doctor in the world who can do that to this day. Isa alayhi salam did all three. What about making a figurine of a bird with clay, and he's just molding it with his hand? It's not as if he's putting in all the details. And with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's leave, he would blow on it and it would become a live bird and fly away. Now, these are all, amazing things. But if you look at it, prophet got miracles in relation to the things which people were proud of. So people were arrogant about something, those prophets got signs from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which brought down their arrogance. In the case of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you look at it, the Arabs were they were extremely proud of their language of Arabic, to the extent that they looked down upon everybody else and they called them ajam, which means dumb people, you know, like animals. They have no speech, which is of course completely untrue. People have had speech and people have had their languages which are more ancient than Arabic. Tamil, for example, is a language which is one of the earliest languages that came into being. And all languages are signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not only Arabic. The Arabic has a special status because it is the language of the Quran and it is the language of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But it is not the oldest language, and it is not other than that. If the Quran had not been revealed in Arabic, then Arabic would not have any special status compared to any other language. That is a language, this is a language, that's it. But because the Quran is in Arabic, therefore Arabic has a special status. So Isa alayhi salam, so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was given this miracle of the Quran because languages were the thing. The Arabs were very proud of their language, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Quran in their language, and He revealed the Quran where the Quran is of a stature linguistically which completely is unparalleled, right? Till today, there is no parallel to the Quran, there is no duplicate of the Quran. Nobody could code or can write and create something of the which is even like the Quran, let alone being superior. Can't be done. Therefore, this was the miracle given to Rasulullah. So miracles were given to prophets in keeping with what people were proud and arrogant about at that time. Isa alayhi salam was very strongly against the dunya. He never married, and he never did any business. He ate whatever his companions would provide, and that's it, right? So he completely rejected the dunya, and therefore a lot of there was a strong, very strong spiritual dimension to Isa alayhi salam's religion, and which led to a lot of emphasis on seclusion and monk-like life, zuhud. So eating less, wearing rough clothing, you know, living in seclusion, alone, not speaking, all of these things. Now, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on the other hand, his message was the middle path, right? Wasat, which is totally balanced, with a focus on leading others in a way that helps them in the akhirah, because he is the last of the messengers and his messenger is universal for all time. Right? His message is universal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned in the Quran as Rabbul Alameen, the Rabb and the Lord and the Creator, Sustainer, Maintainer, Protector of all the worlds, not just the Muslims. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned about every other Nabi in keeping with their people. Inna arsalna Nuhan ila qawmihi. Nuh alayhi salam was sent to his people. Musa alayhi salam was sent to Bani Israel. Isa alayhi salam was sent to Bani Israel, and so on. The people, Salih alayhi salam was sent to his people. Hud alayhi salam was sent to his people, and so on. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam was sent to all people for all time. So this is the message of at the time of Maryam alayhi salam and Isa alayhi salam. We have gone through the whole thing of how she announced the, or rather she didn't announce, she just was there with the baby, and she was blamed, but she pointed to the baby and the baby spoke, and you know, and that was the proof itself. Now, mankind needs the Anbiya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyah rahmatullahi alayhi, he says that there is no way to success and happiness in this world or the Akhirah, no way to know the difference between good and evil to receive the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if they did not have Anbiya alayhi salam. That's what they came to teach us. They are the standards in their words and actions. And without the Anbiya, our spirits and our bodies would be dead. The way of the Anbiya should be our guidance in life. The ayat of the Quran are our only source about the lives of the Anbiya alayhi salam. History books had not been written at that time. The Bible has been altered, so it's full of distortions. It has all kinds of statements which are completely against even logic, because Anbiya alayhi salam in the Bible are accused of theft and of adultery and all kinds of very bad things. And now we don't believe this. We believe that all the Anbiya alayhi salam, all the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were masoom, they were sinless and they were protected and they were pure and they did not go astray. And obviously, because if they themselves were full of sin, how would they have guided anybody else, right? So this is not something that, so therefore we don't follow any of that, we don't believe any of that. They did that, people were distorted, they degraded and they disparaged the Anbiya so that people would discredit them and that people would not follow them. And they also tried to discredit Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Orientalists, so that Muslims would lose respect for him and would stop following his sunnah. Those people who deny the hadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they fall into this kind of idiotic state of being about his blessed life, and they deny the fact that his life was perfect and that he is the best example to be emulated by all of mankind. Disbelieving in one Nabi is equal to disbelieving in all of them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this specifically in many places. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Kazzabat Aadul Mursaleen. Aadunil Mursaleen. Kazzabat Aadunil Mursaleen. Aad belied and disbelieved the messengers. But how many came to him? Came to the Aad? One, Hud alayhi salam. So they denied Hud alayhi salam. So why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying Mursaleen? Right? He did not say Rasul. Mursaleen, because denying one is equal to denying everyone. About the Thamud, Allah said, Kazzabat Thamudu al-Mursaleen. Again, the Thamud denied the prophets. Right? Who came to them? Salih alayhi salam. Again, Allah said, Kazzabat Qawmu Lutinil Mursaleen. The people of Lut, they denied the messengers. Our Aqidah is, we believe in all the messengers. And we do not make any distinction between the messengers. Amana rasulu bima unzila ilayhi min rabbih wal mu'minun kullun amana billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusuli la nufarriqu bayna ahadin min rusuli wa qalu sami'na wa ata'na ghufranaka rabbana wa ilaykal masir. The messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and believes in what has been sent down to him from his Rabb. And so do the believers. Each one believes in Allah, His angels, His books, and His messengers. And they say, we do not make any distinction between one of the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the other. And they say, we hear and we obey. And we seek your forgiveness, O our Rabb. And to you is the return of all. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about those who deny some of the message and accept a part of it, and who try to separate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from His messengers. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْفُرُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَرُسُلِهِ وَيُرِيدُونَ أَن يُفَرِّقُوا بَيْنَ اللَّهِ وَرُسُلِهِ وَيَقُولُنَا نُؤْمِنُوا بِبَعْدٍ وَنَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْدٍ وَيُرِيدُونَ أَن يَتَّخِذُوا بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ سَبِيلًا أُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ حَقًّا وَأَعْتَدْنَا لِلْكَافِرِينَ عَذَابًا مُهِينًا. Allah said, verily those who disbelieve in Allah and His messengers and wish to make a difference and distinction between Allah and His messengers by believing in Allah and disbelieving the messengers, saying we believe in some but we reject others, and they wish to adopt a way in between, they are in truth disbelievers. Allah said, Ulaika humul kafiruna haqqa. May Allah protect us. And we have prepared for the disbelievers a humiliating torment. In conclusion, let me quickly list what we believe about the Anbiya. Number one, we believe that the Anbiya alayhimus salam, all the prophets were bashar. They were human beings. They were not anything else. Number two, Anbiya get wahi from Allah. That Anbiya alayhimus salam, they receive revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in different forms. Some comes as speech, some comes in different forms. Number three, the Anbiya do not sleep like we sleep. Their eyes sleep, but their hearts don't sleep. So this is a special consideration that Allah gave for them. Number four, the Anbiya are infallible. They are masoom. They never commit sins. They never conceal anything that was sent to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They never conceal their knowledge which comes from Allah. And they do not make any mistake in conveying the message. That was number four. Number five, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala corrects any small mistake they may make so that their message is pure. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always guides them to the right ijtihad, to the right decision. Number six, their soul is not taken without their permission as a mark of respect for their status. So this is a thing only for Anbiya, where Malakul Maut will come and ask them if he can take their soul. They all die, but it is this. Then number seven, every Nabi is buried in the place they die. That's how Rasulullah was buried, in the room in which he passed away, and so also others. Number eight, the earth does not eat their bodies. Their bodies are protected. So the Anbiya alayhimus salam bodies don't get disintegrated, they don't get decomposed, and the earth doesn't eat them. And number nine, they are alive in their graves and they pray in their graves. Rasulullah mentioned this with respect to Musa alayhi salam, where he said that Jibreel alayhi salam, when he and Jibreel alayhi salam were going on Isra wal Mi'raj, they passed by Jerusalem, and outside the wall of Jerusalem, Jibreel alayhi salam showed Rasulullah the grave of Musa alayhi salam. Rasulullah said Musa alayhi salam was in his qabr and he was praying. So this is the fazail of the Anbiya alayhimus salam. I ask Allah to make this a means of khair and barakah for us, that we learnt in this beautiful story of so many of the Anbiya, Isa alayhi salam, Maryam alayhi salam, who was not a Nabi but a Siddiqa, and then Zakariya alayhi salam and Yahya alayhi salam. We ask Allah to help us to learn the one single message from all of this, which is to have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to follow our Nabi, who is Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya rahmur rahimin. Wa salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.